Raf and Raf Rant. I'm Raf.
And I'm Raf.
We're Raf.
Raf Farispo of the Far From Vesuvius podcast. That's Raf Pizarro of Calcio Napoli Club. Just rant about Napoli.
Let's go for it.
We're going to rant. We're going to match report. We're going to talk about the games. We're going to talk about topics. You leave comments and we'll read your comments out, question.
All right. Quick stats.
Yes. Throw the stats up there. On to a nice little segment that we're going to call the Beast of the Match.
The who is beasting it for the Napoli team? Let's see.
Follow us on Facebook, Raffaele Rispo, Ralph Pizarro, Twitter at RafaNapoli83. That's me.
CNC USA 26.
I want some feedback to the show. What do you guys want to see? What do you want to see more or less of? This is going to be a show for you guys too. I want a lot of comments.
We want to rant about something. Let us know if you want us to rant about something.
I promise you, we're not going to agree on everything all the time.
We won't.
We're going to yell at each other every now and then.
Come and rant. This is what it's for. We want to give you a space to let loose so you can do it here.
Well, that's going to do it, Ralph. You know, were we boring enough for you?
I don't know. I think we were great.
Let's get to it.
Madonna do Carmen, aiutici tu.
And benvenuti, fellas and bellas all over the world. Welcome to another episode of the Raf and Raf Rant. I am Raf Pizarro, joined by my co-host, the Vicar of Vesuvius, Rafa Rispo. Welcome, sir, and welcome to everybody in the chat today. We have a special episode and a special guest tonight, don't we, Rafa?
We do. We have UEFA-accredited journalist and the owner of OmaSports.tv. He is also known by me as the Nigerian Gianluca Di Marzio. Mr. Oma Akatugba is with us today. And Raf, if we can bring him in,
that'd
be great.
Let's pop him in. Here we are, sir.
Let's get going. Let's get it going.
Big cheer for Mr. Oma, sir. How are you? Welcome to the show, Oma. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Oma.
I'm all right. Good to be here. Good to be on.
Yes.
The show again.
Yes.
The second time.
Second time. That's right. The first was an audio only podcast for Far From Vesuvius, and we'll release this.
I want to just say thank you.
I want to just say thank you to everybody who's watching now, listening, you know, on the podcast, you know, whenever you can, downloading it on the Far From Vesuvius podcast, watching on YouTube taped or what have you. Like I said, those who are live, just thank you very much for joining us. Oma Akatugba is, like, as I said, you know, you're an accredited, you know, UEFA journalist, so you know your stuff. And I dubbed you the Gianluca Di Marzio of Nigeria last year because as everybody's hopes were dwindling about Victor Osimhen coming in, this guy right here was the only one that said, oh, calma tutti. Non ti preoccupare, which means calm down, everyone. Don't worry about it. Victor's coming. He signed the contract. He's on his way. And everybody doubted it, but here he is. And Oma, I just wanted to start by again thanking you for coming and saying, how have you been doing? You know, how has your year been? You know, the last time I spoke to you was a year ago. So how has your year been? How do you what are you doing these days? What do you got going on?
Okay, great to be on your show. Thank you very much for the new title you've given to me, the Di Marzio.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, you had the inside scoop, and everybody doubted it, but you were like, he's coming. I'm telling you, he's coming, and you know, he came. So
you know,
when you're hearing from the horse's mouth, you're very sure of your information, because the guy involved is talking to you and he's saying, don't worry, let them say what they like. You have exclusives. And I was basically absolutely sure of what I was saying, because I was talking to the man involved. So I was he was giving me an update of everything that was happening, and I was just basically lounging and laughing at all the things I saw on the internet. Even the guys who are usually the guys to break the stories didn't really have the kind of info that I had, you know?
we had the exclusive inside info, Omar. Definitely. Yeah. You know, I remember listening to the podcast from Far Vesuvius, the first one you did with Rafa. And let me tell you, it was probably one of my favorite shows on there because
Thank you. I feel
like I really got to know Victor. Like, I already had positive thoughts about him. I was already optimistic about it all. And then you kind of gave me the confirmation, or rather the validation that I needed, or we all needed. And you didn't fail to deliver. And I feel like you were 100% correct. Because, man, what a darling he's been. And I know he had a rough season. We're going to talk all about it. You know, it started off all right. Yes. And then, you know, he had some issues with injuries and things like that. But, but man, are we super excited about this player. And we're super happy to have you back on here to talk about it. Because you're the guy. You're the guy, Omar. You know, you are the man out there.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Grazie mille.
Grazie
mille. Beautiful.
I guess we should start. I guess we should kind of start maybe in the beginning of the season, because we already spoke about leading up to the season, what we expected. And I think the most important maybe would be his acclimation towards Serie A. You know, if we can touch real quick about, you know, maybe those first couple months leading up to the injury. We'll get into that afterwards, but kind of like maybe his first couple months. Did he speak to you about how he felt in Serie A, how he felt about the city? Did he speak to Mertens like Rafa suggested to kind of like have a, you know, kind of go under his wing and help him get acclimated to the team? So So what were Victor's first, his first thoughts about Napoli and Serie A?
First thing first, about the city, he felt very much at home because he said that it's kind of like Lagos. If you've ever heard or seen videos of Lagos, the ambience in Naples, in Napoli, is more or less like Lagos. So that was the very first thing that struck Victor, and that gave him that confidence that I think that I feel at home here, and the kind of love and support that I've enjoyed already says that there's going to be a very fantastic time here in Naples. And talking about the football, of course, he was looking forward to it with so much enthusiasm, and because of the fact that the Italian Serie A is one league that he followed while growing up. The Italian Serie A used to be actually the first popular football league in Nigeria before the EPL, you know, back in the day where you had Taribo West, Sunday Olise playing in the Serie A, you know, and Obafemi Martins, you know.
Martins,
all them, Victor, as kids, they used to follow the Serie A. And of course, Diego Maradona, who was globally famous, you know, made Napoli a popular football club outside of Italy. So I think that he looked forward to playing in the Serie A with so much enthusiasm.
Right.
And he said to me in some of our conversations that he already is in love with the city, he's in love with the people.
That's good to hear.
He likes the team and he wants to really, in fact, it was kind of under pressure, actually. You could see the energy, you could see the passion with which Victor played for Napoli. He was almost fighting on the pitch.
He was.
Because he wanted to...
He was trying to make a good impression,
he really wanted to... Yes. At some point, I felt he was overstretching things, but as the attribute or attitude of a winner, he wanted to make, like you said, a good impression.
Right.
Unfortunately, like we're going to discuss, some things didn't go his way. And these things, you know, happen. But he picked up himself again and did some decent job.
Certainly. I remember you speaking about it again in the first podcast about Lagos and Napoli. And I was real excited to hear that because I think, forget just as a player, but just as a regular person, you know, leaving your home and then going to kind of another home, maybe that transition for Victor was a lot easier for him, I feel like. To get used to the city, to get used to the culture. I'm hoping he loves the food. We're really popular with that stuff. And, you know, if pizza became his new favorite food or something. But
I think that As far as food is concerned, Italy is really, we've got a pass mark. Anyone who travels a lot will agree with me that Italian delicacies are amazing, absolutely delicious. I'm sure Victor is getting used to that already. But don't forget, Victor is a very, he's a typical Nigerian.
Okay.
He's a guy that is very much connected with home. Victor is from the streets. So he still eats a lot of his Nigerian food.
Okay. All right.
Yes, yes. He still eats a lot of his Nigerian food, and he will not leave it so soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
You know, and I think that it's been a very easy transition for him, because like I said, Napoli has a feel of Lagos. There's a Nigerian musician, a very popular Nigerian musician. His name is Pasuma Wonder. He did a song with the title Napoli Like Lagos. And he said in the lyrics of the song, some of the things he said is the way they behave, especially the way they drive. That is
exactly mm-hmm. Oh, we're notorious in Napoli for that, without a doubt.
We're not the best drivers. That's no, for sure. No.
It's organized chaos at best, you know.
I like that. That's a very good way to put it. I was talking with a Napoli journalist one day on the phone. I was actually driving while talking with him on the phone
in Napoli.
And then someone got me angry. I was in Germany.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I was speaking with a guy in Napoli on the phone, a journalist from Napoli. So while doing that and driving, someone got me angry, and I said, like, I yelled at him.
Yeah.
And I said to him, oh, sorry, someone got me angry. He said, no, that's normal in Naples. It happens every day. And then, and then I remembered the musician that said, like, Napoli, like Lagos. Because in Lagos, actually, you are cursing every 10 minutes while driving. You are cursing someone. It's chaos.
It's chaos, right?
It's absolute chaos.
It's like
chaos.
A culture.
Yeah.
It's like part of the culture. You gotta curse while you're driving.
When I leave Germany to Nigeria, the moment I land in Nigeria and I start driving, I say to myself, you have to press the reset button. You are now in Lagos, where people drive without rules. You are no longer in Germany. You obey the right before left rule.
Right.
Speed limit and all of that. Here, you've got to be crazy to be able to drive, because it is very abnormal to be normal in Lagos. It is very normal to be abnormal. Right. I'm very abnormal to be normal. So all of that, I think, makes it or made it easier for Victor to settle in, because Victor is from the hood, man. Victor is from
Victor my
grew
guy.
Up in a place called Olusosun. Olusosun is a real ghetto. It's a real ghetto. I am from Nigeria. I came from a humble background, but I didn't see that kind of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the layers. Layers to everything. There are levels.
So the transition was very easy for him then. He was able to get accustomed with the culture very easily, right? And he was, you know, and I, like Raf mentioned earlier, last year I told you to tell Victor to latch on to guys like Dries Mertens and they'll tell them how great the people are when it comes to bringing you in as an outsider, making you one of their own, you know? So I feel like just as easy as it is for Victor to get accustomed to the city, he was as comfortable with the team too, I'm sure, because let's not forget, Oma, when Victor started with Napoli, he was off for about, they had ended their season in Lille in March, right? So it was a 4-month layoff, right? Yes. And then for him to come back and he was also nursing an injury at the time. So, you know, maybe a slow start for him. He got in. I always thought he was going to be great from the get-go, because the first game he played against Parma, he came in the 45th minute, second half, and we bombarded Parma. We ended up beating them.
Yeah.
He scored against Atalanta, which was great. And then it kind of went south with the injury. in Nigeria, or was it in Sierra Leone? I don't remember.
It was against Sierra Leone.
It was in Africa Cup of Nations qualifier where he got injured.
Yes, in Nigeria. You know,
in Nigeria, and it had Napoli fans, you know, hating international break even more.
It's especially when Ozzy was kind of a guy that kind of was going to come in and fill the shoes of Malik, who had two devastating knee injuries back to back. So we were just like, oh man, here we go again.
Imagine the chatter from Napoli Twitter and Tifosi. It was tough, but you know, he bounces back from that eventually. Yeah. You know, he comes back in, then the COVID, then the head injury. And it was a lot of what are we doing? How, you know, we spent so much money on him. We this, we that. And I'm one of the, and I don't mean to suck up to anybody here, but I'm one, and Ralph can attest, one of them who said, guys, we need to calm down and wait. This kid is cooking. He's going to blow up. Right. And then exactly what we talked about right before we came on the air, the tweet that said, you know, you ain't seen nothing yet. Boom. Yeah. He comes in and he gets 10 goals in what? 7 or 8 matches, right? Should have had another one against Cagliari.
Yeah.
I think he blew up big time. I think you saw the real Victor Osimhen after the concussion. Yeah. I think he was tired of all the BS and was like, let's hit it. So yes. I don't know, Oma, if you've spoken to him. I don't know if you've spoken to him since or what have you, but
we actually chatted 2 days ago. He actually
you
wrote
did.
Me.
Okay.
He wrote
you.
I was just on my own, and then I saw a message. Ah, bros, how far? I told you he calls me bros.
Yeah. Yeah. bros, you're brosoma, you know that. So how does he feel? How did you feel about Victor's first season at Napoli? How were you fulfilled? Because I feel like 10 goals to get accustomed to a new league, especially at the end of the day, 10 goals is 10 goals. But the way he got it in like quick succession after the head injury, like was mega impressive. And if you ask me, if he hadn't been injured all that time, he would have ended up with easy 30 goals. If you ask me, how did you feel about his first season?
Absolutely. I think that his first season for me was a success. When you consider all of the hiccups, take away all those injuries, all the COVID-19 and all these problems. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Victor would have done more than 10. He would have done at least 19 goals as far as I'm concerned.
I'm with you. Yeah.
That's realistic.
Look at the consistency look at the consistency with which he racked up 10 goals. And it was like Victor didn't want the season to end because he had so much fire in him. He wanted to score more than 10 goals. Unfortunately, 4 months, Victor didn't play football from October to January, he didn't play.
Right.
So the end of January,
that
I believe.
That is a long time. Exactly. To the end, he played his first game on the 29th of January, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, right.
And from that point on, Victor was like a house on fire. Now, look at the number of games Victor played. Victor played 27 games. He scored 10 goals. The guy who scored 19 goals, Lorenzo Insigne, played 43 games.
Right.
So he scored 19 out of 43.
Yeah.
So imagine Victor played 43 without all the problems.
Right.
He would have recorded at least 20 goals.
And
that is what we are looking forward to this season, right?
Yes.
And that is exactly what he is looking forward to. In our last conversation, he said he's geared up. He can't wait for the new season to start. That, you know, used a slang. Say, when the season begins, now fire for fire. you know, meaning that he's going to be fired all through. So he's geared up, he's ready. I hope and pray that he's injury free. All of the other issues are not going to repeat themselves again, like the COVID-19. Sure. That was, you know,
and it was back to back. You know, Omar, we were saying, like, and again, not
right,
to,
you
like,
couldn't catch
up,
a break.
He right, not to kiss break, up or anything, yeah. But we have been, like Rafa said, so pro-Victor on the show, without a doubt. Since we kind of started the show, in the middle of the season, and we were always like, just wait. Because, first of all, he had what? He wasn't playing already a few months before it comes to Napoli. He gets on Napoli. And all of a sudden, he's a team player. Yeah. I saw that immediately, and I was happy about him being that. You know, when he did the celebrations and he was doing – it's just the fact that he was smiling with Mertens and Senior and the rest of the group. I could see he was having a good time, and that was important for me. I was like, if you're coming to this new home, you need to be happy. And again, from what I heard with you when you said, with Lagos, the culture, I was confident that was going to happen, and it certainly did without a doubt. I saw. Go ahead, Rafa.
Go ahead. Finish. Go ahead.
Well, I was just kind of starting in the timeline here. We saw Victor's play, how much he was helping the team, how he was widening defense, how he was helping with the assist at first. Before he started scoring goals, he was helping with he was helping the team score goals. And but this guy's a stud, and he still needs to get used to it. Yep. And I was like, and everybody was giving, not everybody, but it was some people who gave him a hard time. I was like, listen. Let him get acclimated to the team. You know, he has to learn the language. He has to learn the country. He has to learn the league.
Yeah.
And Italy, especially with defensively, it's a tough place. You know, so Victor's watching this now. I watched the guy get hacked all the time. They cut him. He was unstoppable.
Yeah.
He was unstoppable. And I was like, boy, oh boy, couple months. I was licking my chops ready. And then unfortunately, he got hurt. We were all super worried, but he pulled through. And I think in January, Omar, Rafa was asking me, so when does he come back? Because at this point, we can't wait to see him. We couldn't wait to see him. It was January, and we just wanted a striker because, again, all the post-traumatic stress of what happened with Malik, we really wanted our stallion back on the field.
Yep.
And we said he's going to take a couple weeks. Rafa, we were going back and forth, Rafa and I, for a little bit.
Well, because the entire squad was injured. You know, it's not even just Victor.
It's tough,
It was everybody was hurt at the same time, Oma. Yeah. And one of the big things that everybody says, oh, well, you know, injuries are part of the game. COVID was included. Everybody's going through it. I'm sorry, but to me, Napoli was affected the most in Serie A, probably the most in Europe, with injuries at the same time, right? You had Osimhen out, Mertens was gone, Insigne's out. Even there was a time where Lozano and Petagna were out. That's the entire forward line. And then you had our goalkeepers were out. Koulibaly was out for how long? You know, it's you can't expect success with all this kind of stuff at the same time. Yeah, you tell me if Inter would have won Scudetto if half of their team was injured as well. I don't think so. So Oma coming in.
No, just Lukaku. Just Lukaku.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Lukaku injured. Inter don't win the Scudetto. You're right.
Yeah.
No, but what Ralphie said earlier that really tugged on my heartstrings when Osimhen came back and scored all these goals, and you would think that this guy's goal hungry. He wants to score, right? The game, I don't know if you remember this, Oma, but the game Napoli played on the road against Spezia, where Osimhen had two goals and had the hat trick on his foot, but instead, 21 years old, still immature in his brain, still maturing to the game, still getting acclimated to the league. Instead, he finds Chucky Lozano and passes to Chucky Lozano to get goal number 4 instead of getting that hat trick. To me, I have chills thinking about it right now. Made me understand what Victor Osimhen is to this club. It's unselfish, smart, a team player, and a goal scorer, and can distract the defense from the other players. I think we have the Capo Cannoniere, which is the top goal scorer this season. You say 19, I say 37. I think he can score so many goals if he's and that's given he's even going to be gone for the Cup of Nations in January. I think he still beats the Serie A record this season. That's a, it's potentially one of my guys here on one of our listeners said hot take 37 goals. I think he gets it.
I mean, he has the qualities. Victor is a goal machine. He's got the mentality. He's got the mindset. And all things being equal, I think that Victor can reach 30 goals. Let me quickly say that Victor went through a lot in that four-month period. Like you said, a lot of the players were injured. Victor couldn't wait to come back. That period, that injury to Victor, to Belgium, to Nigeria, before he was finally okay again to play football, and then contracted COVID during that moment of excitement during his birthday and all of that.
Right, right, right.
And then, and I don't know, you remember the last time we had the podcast, I said to you that sometimes when I speak with Victor, I imagine I speak with someone who is older than 21. His level of maturity is unbelievable.
Sure.
And that is exactly what the point you made about him. 21-year-old, a chance to score a hat-trick, but he would rather go for an assist. That is the level of maturity that Victor has. And for a player as young as Victor to have that kind of a mindset, that is a sign of someone who's going to be great. He's called, his work rate, apart from his goal scoring, his work rate is on another level.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Belgium at the Calvi Kortrijk a few weeks ago. And I was talking with a physical trainer, a guy called Serge Costa. He worked with Victor before and said to me, he said, Victor Osimhen is not an African player. He plays football like a European. His understanding of the game is mind-blowing. His positioning and his eye for goal is a complete striker. And that's the sort of player that you guys have at Napoli. And I think that, like I said, all things being equal, Victor can do 30 goals this season. And I pray. I believe so much in God. So.
I pray with you.
Sure. Absolutely.
I pray every day. But guys, but
I pray that Victor will be injury free.
I want to ask Omar, because you had mentioned something earlier about his, I kind of have two questions, but you had mentioned something about his kind of his energy and his like in the beginning where he was a bit like he was super motivated, and sometimes we saw on the field defensemen kind of get in his head. Did you see at any point, at least the second, especially after all the injuries and yada yada yada, after all the drama, did you see a difference in Victor as far as his attitude goes from the first half of the season to when he kind of came back to the second half of the season? Did you see a difference, and where do you think that came from?
I think that first thing first, I saw a Victor that was more circumspect, a Victor that had more control of his emotions. Victor can be very, very, he's a guy with a short fuse, like we say.
Yes.
Right.
He can be very temperamental. But he was able to put all of that under control, because that kind of affected him at the beginning.
Sure.
I think that he realized that would be a very major stumbling block in his progress. So he had to put all of that under control. He had to focus more on getting the job done.
Right, right.
Because when opponents realize that a player get angry quickly, they go for that player a lot.
Right, right.
That's the word. They go for that player a lot. It's psychological. Football sometimes goes beyond what you do on the pitch. Tactics and antics also play a very key role. And Victor, I think, realized all of that and called himself to order, and then things changed. Where he got that from, I think that it was that period where things weren't going well. Victor went through a storm. You know how volatile the media in Napoli is.
Oh, you know how volatile the Napoli fans are.
We had to go to Silencio Stampa. You know, that's how bad
it is.
Exactly. All of that got to him. And then he realized what was in front of him. Victor is the most expensive African player. Mm-hmm. Napoli, I think, broke the bank to get Victor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All that, when you consider all of that, what happened, I think, was needless, especially with COVID-19 story. It was needless. It was irresponsible. Mm-hmm. I agreed to that, you know, and he was very remorseful. And I think that all of that made him to find himself again. And the result is what we saw towards the end of the season. And I think that is also still, there's still much of that in him.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like he has to really make a good impression. 10 goals for Victor is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of guy he is. It's not good enough. Despite all of the hiccups, for him, yes, this is a tenable, this is a tenable excuse to say he was injured, he had COVID. Nonetheless, he still felt that he could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
He still felt that he could have done, he wanted to do more than 10 goals. And that is what he has at the back of his mind going into the new season.
All right. That sounds great. I think that him having the hunger and desire of getting that, plus, let's not forget, as I mentioned earlier, you got the Cup of Nations in January. You know, he's going to want to explode in that scene as well. You know, the best victory you can get is one that's a winner in his head. And if he can win at Africa Cup of Nations with Nigeria, you know, I always want Napoli players to win internationally before they come back to Napoli so that they have the highest morale, like Lorenzo Insigne, Di Lorenzo, and Meret are winners with Italy.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we have to get the best victor at the Cup of Nations too, so he can come back I got the second half of the season. Boom, go.
And Omar, I want to piggyback off this statement. You know, as competitive as Victor is, we want him to know that, you know, it, first of all, again, he had to get acclimated. Then he had the injuries. Then he came in and killed it. And I remember when he had that statement, I believe it was like a video or something, and he said, "You ain't seen nothing yet." And at that point, I was giddy. At that point, I was like, oh, man, that really, like, I felt it. You know, I guess, like, it's easy for any player to kind of say that, right? You ain't seen. But when Victor said it, I believed him. I believed him because I'm like, man, this kid been through so much, and I know he's a good guy. I know he's a humble dude, and he just wants to perform. There's a few questions out there regarding, you know, the chat wants to know. So I want to bring it out to you because, you know, we have some great fans that come in your
life. Ralphie, before you go there, I feel like you had something to share with us. Did you have something there to share with us? You had something from a friend of yours or something?
Yeah. I mean, he was saying that, you know, when the season begins, it's going to be full force. Now imagine they didn't qualify for the Europa League, it would have been a real problem because he knows the expectations, I beg your pardon, of Napoli fans. So he's like, we would have been in serious trouble if we didn't qualify for the Europa. We wanted the Champions League. Unfortunately, we couldn't get it, but we can go with the UEFA Europa Cup. And he can't wait to make a good impression.
All right, go ahead, Ralph. Sorry about that.
I just kind of want to address some of the questions that were coming in the chat regarding, you know, as far as how much of an effect did Rino Gattuso have on Osimhen, whether it be the player, whether it be the person, has he ever mentioned? Gattuso in general has been a positive influence on the team because he also had to deal with all that as well. He had a hard time as well as a coach at Napoli. But how much of a positive influence was him, if any, did Gattuso have on Victor during his time? And did that maybe affect some of the mental strains that Victor had to experience as he was going through everything?
I think Gattuso played a very key role in helping Victor to settle at Napoli. He's the first person he met, actually, before, while the negotiations were going on. He visited Gattuso at home in Napoli. And it was through Victor I learned that Gattuso speaks very good English. I didn't know that. He doesn't look like he looks like a,
no, he does,
a
yeah.
typical Italian who will not bother about English. But I was shocked when I read he speaks good English.
Yeah,
you know, he met in his house, and during that period he lost, I think, his sister or his mom, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. His sister.
His sister.
Yeah, that was the period they met, and from that point on, he had a bond with Gattuso because, like I said before, Napoli was a difficult. It was difficult for Victor to accept Napoli. It took him some time, you know. They had to convince him. Gattuso had to, you know, basically let him see why Napoli would be a good place for him and how it will help him to settle in, help him to grow. And he kept to his promises. So Gattuso really played a very, very important role, you know, in Victor's, Victor's, okay, let me say Victor's early beginning at Napoli.
Okay.
That remains very, very fresh in his memory. During the period where he was down with injury and all of that, Gattuso kept encouraging him, kept telling him, these things happen. You're a young player. This is a totally new environment, a totally new league. Don't put yourself under pressure. Yes, there's a price tag, but it's not your fault. You are just a player. All of these are the things that he heard that gave him that encouragement and push. And the moment he was back on the pitch, he wanted to prove, you know, he wanted to pay him for the confidence he invested or bestowed on him.
You can absolutely tell that, you know, right off the bat, especially right off he came back that, you know, it was funny because right before the head injury, we saw one game. I'm like, he's almost there. We saw the second game after. I was like, he's getting closer. And then and all, I was like, Victor got his legs back, hurts his head. I'm like, damn it. Oh, here we go. But he came back, and after that, man, it was like, for me, it was full steam ahead when I watched Victor play. And I'm like, man, I can't wait. I just couldn't wait to see him. And, boy, he proved himself. He proved himself to me, you know.
I have a question for you, Omar. One of our good buddies and listeners, Dom, out in San Diego, he asks what the relationship is with Lozano and Victor. They seem like they play like they really play well together. They seem like they love playing with each other. It's true. On screen, it looks like they're just a great duo. You know, do you know if he's got, I don't want to say a favorite member of the team, but do you know if there's somebody in particular on the team that he really gravitated towards, like extra?
From the things he has said, I think Dries Mertens has been a guy he's been very chummy with. I don't know much about Lozano, but I think that he's talked a lot about Mertens. He's talked a lot about him. He's posted a lot about him sometimes too on his Instagram stories. I think that he's gravitated towards Dries Mertens more. I was expecting Koulibaly, for example, because of the
Koulibaly, you know, the African connection. Yeah. Hey, I mean, let's not forget, Koulibaly is 30, and well, so is Dries Mertens. He's older too.
Exactly.
But that's not an excuse. No.
Yeah, but Mertens is like that young youth, very youthful, you know, kind of guy, likes to go around because he became also, I mean, as well as Koulibaly, but Mertens certainly became a adopted son of Napoli, and
yes,
he was an all around, maybe being a forward like Ozin, and just being an overall kind of warm, welcoming, hospital guy. It feels like the first guy, not to take anything away from Koulibaly because he's a wonderful man and a great professional, but like to find your first friend, I think Mertens would kind of be that guy that sticks out. He probably walk. If I had to guess, Driz Mertens walked up to Victor and said, "Hey, what's up?
You know what it is?
Have some limoncello. You know what it is?
Mertens doesn't have kids, and Koulibaly has kids. So I think Koulibaly ain't got no time for that. Mertens is young at heart. Koulibaly has kids and he can't be bothered with that. That's what I think. That's how I see it. And language is a factor too. I brought up Lozano. Lozano himself is just learning how to speak Italian. Let alone who knows what kind of English he speaks. You know what I mean? And when you have Mertens who speaks great English, Koulibaly also does speak pretty good English. But you know, when you have these players that speak English with each other, boom, you tend to gravitate towards them quickly. Sure. So that could be a reason too.
Yeah, because language is very, very important. When mm-hmm. someone is able to speak your language, you connect with the person faster than the other who perhaps can't speak your language, because communication, they say, is the food of every relationship, right? If you can't communicate mm-hmm. with someone, it's right. difficult to connect, you know, easier with that person. So I think that for players who can speak English, it's easier to connect with those players than the ones who can't, because Victor, I wouldn't say it's not very good language, because of my notice. I've not heard Victor try to speak German, never heard him try to speak French. He just doesn't care, he doesn't score goals.
Right.
I just score goals, that's what I do.
He speaks his language on the pitch, that's what he does.
Has he expressed to you any him? Has he been practicing his Napolitan dialect or Italian? Has he been coming along as far as the language barrier goes and all that? Has he mentioned anything to you?
I think, like I said, not really. Like I said, I think Victor is not a guy that is very enthusiastic about language. While he was in Germany,
okay.
I mean, when you speak with players. For example, you speak with a player who played in Germany or plays in Germany, they try to say a few things in German like Guten Tag, Vigis, mm-hmm. Buddha, and all those kind of stuff. Or in French, ça va très bien, and all of those mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. I never heard Victor use a word in French, German, or
it's okay.
Even Italian.
Italian.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I think he's not a language person.
It's okay.
Okay.
All he has to say is Forza Napoli sempre and score goals on the pitch. That's it. That's all I need to hear from him.
There's also something. Let's not forget that this is Victor's fourth year in Europe. And in these 4 years, he has played in four countries.
You're right.
He came to Europe in 2017. So he spent just a year in each country. Maybe he will spend more time in Naples and will now realize or get to see his language abilities. Perhaps if he spends 2-3 years in Naples, he will learn maybe Napolitano or Italian. I don't know which one.
Oh yeah, he's bound to get a few Napolitan phrases in there.
He'll get it.
I put my money on that. That's for sure. Certainly. Yeah. He's gonna learn because they're fun. You know.
Here's another question for you. How do you feel?
Do you guys speak Napolitano?
Yes.
I almost failed my Italian class in high school because
I had to take Italian in school. Nowadays, right. You don't get Italian in the States. You don't get Italian. You get French, Spanish. That's about it. Back when I was a kid, for sure, in Yonkers down towards the Bronx, Oma, Italian was available. I'm not sure now anymore. I really am not. Yeah. Yeah. But I had to take Italian in school from first grade all the way to high school and then some in college just to learn Italian, because all they spoke was Napolitan. Because I had, and now when I speak, I cross the two so much that it's ridiculous. You know, I don't speak as much as I used to.
How do you do that?
It's very difficult.
Did you live in Italy?
No, my parents are from Napoli. My father was born in Napoli. And my mother knew how to speak Italian because her family in Sicily, she had a very little bit of Italian. And then, so it was all Napolitan in my house with my parents, with my dad and his family. But then I would watch Italian television. Like we'd watch Serie A, we'd watch Italian television, and it's all in proper Italian. Yeah. I have no idea what they're saying because these guys are speaking in Napolitan, and I'm, you know, so I had to, when I went to school for Italian, I learned a lot more, you know, a lot. So I know how to read, write, speak. When I speak,
are
it's
you,
so broken.
Are you, Rafa? Okay.
Yes. I'm,
yes, my, yes. I'm sorry, me? Raf Biz. Right?
Yeah.
This guy. Yeah. There's two Rafs. Yeah,
it's two Rafs. We always get confused here, you know. Yeah, so my mother was born in Italy. My father's Italian American, but so she would speak to me in the house. She would always speak to me in Italian. So, but it was like a little dialect, so it wasn't the most proper. And then going to high school, I again, like Rafa, I studied Italian for about 3 years, where I learned to read it, write it, speak it properly, conjugations, all that. But I always had a hard time because I learned the dialect first. Mm-hmm. So I had to kind of untrain myself and then retrain myself. Now I'm a big mess, but, you know, but I can get by.
It's a mess.
Yeah, But if Victor needs help, I got a cousin who does tutoring. So you let me know. I know a guy. I'll get your discount. You know. I got...
Okay, brilliant. Brilliant. Well, I look forward to that.
Yeah. If you want some too, let me know. We get the whole the family discount. All right. So I got.
I have a question, Omar. I have a question. So we talked about Victor this season. You know, you say 20 goals. You say, you know, a lot of goals. How is he? Did he ever ask or tell you anything about how he feels about Spalletti coming in? Because now it's another manager, you know. But Spalletti is well known for having prominent strikers, like using his strikers the correct way. Capocannoniere with Zecco, a couple times with Icardi. You know, he grew Di Natale into what he was. So, like, what do you think about how excited? I know he's excited for the season, but how excited is he about Spalletti?
I think he knows him. Of course, Victor is a guy that follows football very well. You know, some footballers don't follow football. I know a lot of footballers who don't watch football.
Right.
Victor
right.
is not one of them. Victor watches football a lot. He used to be, I don't know if this will offend Napoli fans, he used to be a Barcelona fan.
No, we know this. We know this from when, we know this from last season.
Okay, good.
Ask him how he feels about Messi.
Good.
Yeah, we want
to
know.
You need to ask him how he feels about Messi now. Did Messi break his heart?
He actually cried.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he... So he knows Spalletti very well. And from what we have seen, from what you guys have also seen, Spalletti has great plans for Victor. He really wants to build a team with Victor having a prominent role. Exactly. And that says it all. He's excited about Spalletti. He wants to do great things. He wants to score goals, actually do much more than he did with Gattuso. And I look forward to a very fantastic relationship between Victor and Luciano Spalletti.
I mean, all the friendlies that he's played already, and I'm not sure if you're plugged in on the friendly. You know, four goals against the first team, you know, another goal against Provercelli, and then two against Bayern, which was huge. You know.
Oh my god! You
just
saw
so
what
exciting.
Nagelsmann said, "I'm sure you read or heard or seen or saw what Nagelsmann said." That Victor is one of the most prolific young strikers in Europe.
Yep. Mm. I think so. But, you know, to segue into that response, I have a question, Omar. So what's your prediction for Napoli this year, as in the 21-22 season? Overall, including Victor or what have you. But overall, how do you feel about the team? Are you confident?
I don't like to build castles in the air. I would go for what I wanted last season, Champions League spots. Champions League spots. Italian Cup, at least.
Okay.
The Italian
at Cup. Least.
That's exactly what I said. Let me try what I said to him when we're talking.
We have Oma Akatugba reading text messages to Victor
Osimhen. Oh, my God. Rocking,
everybody. Come on, this is a historic day.
Awesome.
Where he said trophies in my mind, a lot of silverware, meaning that there are trophies on my mind, a lot of silverware. I said, I can imagine this year something has to happen. I said, I was so pissed that you guys win the champion, but the Europa Cup is not bad. And I said, at least this season, the Italian Cup and a Champions League spot will be success as far as Napoli is concerned. Mm-hmm. And he was like,
yeah. That's I'm with you. A lot of fans,
of course, we want to do more.
Omar, yeah. a lot of fans will disagree because they want the Scudetto. There you go. ID says we are winning the Scudetto.
Yeah.
Listen, it's so difficult because you have Juventus just got Allegri back.
Yes.
You know, yeah, it would be wonderful.
Yes.
It would be wonderful. But let's go realistically.
Inter,
you know?
They're losing Lukaku, yes, but
yes, they are losing Lukaku.
Yeah.
But Omar, here's another thing I'd like to ask you. You mentioned it. You mentioned he wanted the Champions League, but Europa League is just as good. Is also good.
Yeah.
This and you're in a way you're a UEFA guy. That's you're a UEFA guy. You work with UEFA. You're a UEFA journalist.
Yeah.
Am I out of base when I say or out of line when I say that this season? And I've been thinking about this because I'm trying to write a piece for our website. This season. The Europa League is different than it has been in a long time, meaning the Conference League that's just starting now is weeding out all of those smaller, irrelevant teams. And now the Europa League is like literally the best of the rest, like it used to be back when Maradona won the Europa League. When Maradona won the UEFA Cup, the UEFA Cup back then was sort of the Champions League now because you had 2 through 5 playing in the UEFA Cup. So Napoli had to play against Juventus, Bayern Munich, and Stuttgart to win it. Now that the Conference League is here and all those younger, smaller teams are there, the Europa League for me is going to be just that much more competitive. And every single time, like there was this one time I saw the official Europa League Twitter had a poll saying, who's going to be the top scorer or who's going to be the best young player? And I got to tell you, Osimhen is on that poll every single time. I think for me, if Osimhen really wants to make a big statement, he takes us far in the Europa League as well. So as far as getting the Champions League spot, we have to do that. I don't mind not winning Coppa Italia if we win Europa League. Is that really, I know he wants trophies, but is that something that they're looking at too, the Europa League as well?
Of course. I mean, he said it that he wants to make an impression, especially in European competition. He's a guy that likes big tournament. We saw what he did for Lille in his first Champions
season.
He scored 3 goals.
Yes, one against Chelsea,
like
right?
Chelsea, Valencia, Ajax.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a very good impression for a young player just cutting his teeth in the Champions League. And now it's going, a level lower. But like you said, the tournament will be much more valuable and much more competitive now with the fact that there's a European Conference League where, the shafts.
Right.
Are going to be competing.
Ludogretz can go play over there, right?
Exactly. All of these Contorigas. All of the Contorigas of this world. And the Apollon Limassols of this world.
Apollon.
So it reminds me of many years ago when you had the Intertoto Cup. You had the UEFA Cup.
Yes.
You had the Intertoto Cup. So it's more like it happening again. So the UEFA Europa Cup is, I call it usually the poor cousin of the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what it is. If you are a cousin to someone, it means that you have a blood relationship, which means that the UEFA Europa Cup has some level of value because it's just right here compared to the Champions League. And we saw the kind of final the UEFA Champions Europa Cup final where Arsenal played Chelsea.
Sure.
In Azerbaijan.
Manchester United was in last season.
That normally would be a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That would be that would normally be a Champions League final. So this tournament will be actually much more competitive, and It is at this type of tournament, people like Napoli should actually prove a point that, yes, they are ready and can flex muscles with the best teams in Europe. And that can be a very good preparation for the Champions League next season. So I think it's all well laid out for Napoli. And I think that the coach and the players are aware of all of this. And if they put all in place, I think that this is time for Napoli to make a statement. And Rico will be a very integral part of all of this.
Rafa, I want to agree 100% with Omar here, because we've said this before. I've said this before, how much EL can kind of be a prerequisite to the challenges of facing a whole season as well as Champions League. Because if you can't do it in Europa League, you're not going to do it in Champions League. And especially having a young striker, EL could certainly be a place where young strikers kind of get a little bit of shine, you know, get an opportunity to prove themselves. And then, then make that leap in quality or in success or what have you. And I'll say this, Omar, this is a statement more than a question, but you know, going to Real Madrid, winning a trophy is great. Going to PSG, going to even to Juve or what have you, a bigger Italian squad. But in Napoli, to win a trophy, and I want Victor to know this, to win a trophy, it's challenging. It is.
Yes.
It's a bit hard.
Of course.
But, you know, with great risk sometimes comes great reward. And if Victor and the rest of and anyone on this roster, to be quite honest, could find success, couldn't make that trophy and validate everything we've done over the past decade or so, he will forever be immortalized.
Sure.
And I want not to put any unwarranted pressure on him, but
no,
Victor's
will.
Name will be immortalized. Doesn't matter whether it be the EL trophy. I mean, if he wins a Scudetto, forget it. He becomes a patron saint of Pozzoli or something. I don't know, of Italian Napoli. But that's what Napoli is. Nobody forgets a Napoli. You know, other teams not, but
yes.
Naples is just really one of that place that it turns you into saint status if you win for the city. So I hope that
just see how they adore Diego Armando Maradona,
and they still do. And I mean,
they still do.
Exactly. It's not like you won the Champions League.
No. Omar, if Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
I'm listening.
I read somewhere that Messi was close to signing with Napoli, and then I woke up. But what do you
from your
what
dreams?
yes. I mean, what do you, I know this is an Osimhen show, and. Mm-hmm. And this is Napoli, but you're a UEFA guy. You cover Champions League. You cover UEFA. You cover the Europa League, I'm sure, too, a little bit here and there. What's going on? Where's he going? Is it Paris? Is he going to Paris? Is it going to be for big money? And like you said, they, you know, like Ralph said, they will immortalize Victor. Winning in Napoli means so much more. Don't you think Messi should consider taking a pay cut and going to Napoli? And I don't mean it just because we're Napoli fans. I mean it going to somewhere smaller to prove himself elsewhere, you know, to say I still got it. But I say Napoli because of the Diego Maradona ties, because of the fact that the squad is pretty decent. We need a couple pieces, but what have you. It's not superstars. It's not big household name superstars.
Right. Yeah.
What's there to prove in France with PSG? Aside from trying to win a Champions League again with a bunch of stars, why can't you go to Napoli, play with Victor, play with Insigne, play with Lozano, play with Mertens, play with Koulibaly, and get this trophy there? Like lift the Europa League this year and then go lift the Champions League next year. You know, like why not? Why not?
And maybe recreate another Diego Armando Maradona era. It will be amazing.
Imagine, it's unrealistic. I mean, it's unrealistic.
Yes, I know. It would be like a reincarnation of Diego Armando Maradona.
Sure.
The city will have a new god. maybe not exactly like Diego, but could be more than Diego because there's the Champions League to be won.
Exactly.
If you win the Scudetto now, the Champions League, I think you have erased everything Diego Armando Maradona did. And truth is, Messi is capable of doing all of this. The question is Napoli confident enough to approach Messi's entourage?
No.
No.
It's so unrealistic, Oma. But at the same time,
it would have been amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, otherwise, it would have been amazing. And the truth is, Messi would definitely have to accept a pay cut. Nobody would pay the salary Barcelona paid him. It was absolutely humongous and out of this world. It's, even if he's going to PSG, he will have to accept a pay cut. But PSG looks like the most realistic destination, the club that can afford Messi's wages. Outside Manchester City, but City looks like a no-go because they've got a guy called Jack Grealish who is said to be the Maradona of English football.
Right.
But we know how it happens. It ends with the English people. Their players are usually overhyped, and at the end of the day, they don't live up to the hype. We saw him today against Leicester City. I kept asking myself, is it Jack Grealish? I've heard a lot about. Well, maybe early days here to see how far that goes. So, I think that PSG looks like the most interested club and the ones who are willing to open their doors right away for Messi. Mm-hmm. And you know that the league is beginning. Messi has to find a club as soon as possible. No time to really experiment. Perhaps that is why Napoli cannot be in the mix, because Napoli will have to first consult the European banks, first look at how to fund the Messi transfer.
Right.
How to it's wishful thinking.
Like they did with Osimhen.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. You're right.
But gentlemen, it's, we're getting about. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's wishful thinking. But how excited would Osimhen be playing against one of his heroes, Messi, playing with him? You know, that would be great.
Amazing.
I like this. I like this question really quick. I like this. Henry asks, I'd love to know if there are any Nigerian players that you would think could fill our problems at left back and at center midfield.
Seydou Sanusi plays for FC Porto.
Ooh, okay.
Fantastic left back. He played all the games for FC Porto last season. Played in the Champions League. Seydou Sanusi, you can Google it.
Sanusi.
He plays. Okay. He plays like Jordi Alba.
Oh yeah.
It's a brilliant left back. Brilliant left back. Joe Aribo is also a very good player for a midfielder. He plays for Rangers. He's a very creative player. Another player I thought would have been fantastic for Napoli is Samuel Chukwueze. He's a very good friend of Victor Osimhen. And he's looking for a new club. Unai Emery has said he has to look elsewhere for his future. And he's a prodigiously talented young player. He's quick. He's tricky. On the flanks, he's almost unplayable. He's been one of the best players for Nigeria in recent times. Victor and Chukwueze's partnership in this national team is amazing. And their friendship off the pitch, they replicate it on the pitch. They love each other so, so much. And I imagine Samuel Chukwueze playing for Napoli. Oh, my God.
Oh, maybe we can have it. Maybe we can set this up, Omar.
Rafa, you know a guy? You know?
Yeah. Listen, I don't know a guy, but I'm sure Omar knows a guy, and Omar knows Victor, so Victor maybe could tell him and listen.
Of course,
tell Victor. Say, Victor, listen. Raf and Raf need you to talk to your boy and approach Napoli.
Yeah.
No problem.
Because this has to happen.
I will do that.
Hey, you never know, man. ADL is one of those guys that. He pulls a name out of nowhere. It's signed.
The scouting is unmatched, I think.
It's unmatched. Yeah. Like you don't really know who we're going to sign. You really don't. And I know ADL, I mean, for a while, he always used to love to shop in twos. We always used to have two nationals from each team. If you look back, whether it was two Swiss, two Colombian, two Italian, we had two Macedonians.
We had two Uruguayans.
Uruguayans. Cavani, we always bought twos.
And guys, maybe also that's why Spalletti has called up a young guy called Michael Folonso, who has a Nigerian root.
Really?
He's Italian Nigerian. He's a central midfielder. He was on loan last season to Regina. He's back at Napoli. He's in the squad. He's a central midfielder. Let me see. Michael Folonso, central midfielder. He's a Nigerian through and through. Of course, born in Italy. He's got Italian nationality and Nigerian nationality. He's back in the squad. I hope he makes the squad. He's not loaned out again. I think perhaps, like what you guys said, they want to have another Nigerian.
Oh, why not?
It could happen. Don't be surprised, you know.
Yeah.
He went to on loan, supposedly one of our buddies.
Yeah, Michael. You can check him out, Michael, for loan.
We'll check him out sure.
We'll look into it.
Youngster, sure. Yes.
But
he's 22, Omar. Actually.
Is he 22?
No, 24. Oh my God, he's even older than Victor. Yeah, but younger in experience.
Yes.
He's not done much.
We tend to loan a lot of these players out, and I, for some reason, either bring them in the squad or sell them. Let's get some money in so we can
fill the
holes. But Oma, you know, it's been a little over an hour. We don't want to take more of your time up. You're in Germany, and we appreciate you coming in and talking to us again. I'm so excited for the season, and I know you are, and I know Ralph is, and all the Napoli fans
wait.
Are.
Can't wait. Especially please for join- Victor. Yeah.
Yes. Please let him know we said good luck. Have a great season. We're pulling for him in the United States.
We're here.
If Napoli are not in a silencio stampa anymore, maybe if there's talking to the media again, maybe we could pull off an Oma and Victor appearance. Who knows?
We would work on that. I would have to fly to Naples and say, Victor, you have to do this for me.
Listen, it's a double whammy. You get to come back on the show. And you get to go to Naples again, which is two of the best things you could
two
do.
Two of the best things you could do.
Where are you guys in the States? Are you in the same?
We're in New York. So Ralph over there is in Queens, New York, in New York City. And I'm about a three-hour drive north of New York City in a town called Saratoga.
How often do you get to see yourself? How often?
I just met him in the Euro 2020 final. We met face to face.
You knew each other before then because
from previous Napoli clubs.
We were in some online stuff, and I was doing. Yeah. I still do the Far From Vesuvius. This is an extension of the Far From Vesuvius. This is a part of this project we started after I had our interview. And we've made it part of the project, the Far From Vesuvius. So the audio from here will post on the audio podcast.
We met
like that and then just hit it off. And COVID, you know, we couldn't see each other, what have you. But finally, we hooked up. My kids are big fans of this guy, too, by the way.
And we
hooked up. Mind you, my youngest son is the biggest Osimhen fan.
Really?
He's 8 years old.
I'm going to tell Victor to send him a jersey.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Oh, my gosh.
I'll do that.
But he was a fan when he was with Lille because he played the video games, you know, the Pro Evolution
Soccer. Football Manager.
So, So he would pick Osimhen all the time. He'd pick Lille. And then he came to Napoli and he said, what?
Wow, nice.
But anyway, for the Euro final 2020, we met all the kids, my father and Ralph and his brother, we met in Manhattan and we watched on a big screen outside. Yeah. One of my friends has a restaurant in the city and big Napoli club, but a bunch of Italians, about 2,000 people, I think. Wow. And we just had a blast because we won the European Cup. And
amazing.
Yeah. So that was the first and only time we ever met face to face.
But it felt like we saw each other.
It really did. We felt like brothers.
Digital media basically bridges the gap.
That's
you don't see people, but you feel like you see them every day.
That's
really
it.
Really does.
A lot of friendships are basically operated online these days. Sure. And then when you meet the person for the first time, it's like you have been talking for the past 50 years. It doesn't feel strange like you're meeting for the first time.
Yeah, it didn't feel strange at all.
Just a few things, maybe the nose, the eyes, the ears.
So this right here, Oma, is my son on my fiance's Grazie Oma. Tell Ossi he is me and my brother's inspiration.
So
this is my son on my fiance's account.
Oh, nice.
The my son Paolo is a big fan. Just let him know that he's touching lives in New York.
No problem. I'll do that.
You know, which is real. It's real.
Thank you.
And through you, you know, I feel like I know Victor.
I feel like I know you.
Seriously.
And you are touching our lives.
Thank you, Oma.
Your work is great. I love your work.
Thank you.
And your tweets. I love your tweets.
I'm sometimes crazy, eh? But
that's okay.
No, that's good. We love it.
If you saw mine half the day, if you spent a day looking at just at Rafa's tweets, I'm telling you, you'll go nuts. I'm crazy too. Don't worry about it. Why don't you plug your stuff? Can you plug your stuff?
Let me get your banner on.
You mean mine? Yours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay. Thank you.
In the meantime, everybody in the chat, let's get a big Forza Victor going on there. It's everybody. But, yeah, Omar, go on. If you'd like to plug yourself here.
Talk about you. Where can we find you? Omar Akatuba on Twitter, right?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter, Omar Akatuba. On Instagram, same name. Facebook, everywhere, Omar Akatuba. You find me right there. And let's continue to enjoy football. Let's continue to support Napoli, support Victor Osimhen, and cheer our team on. Forza sempre, Napoli.
Forza Napoli sempre. Everybody.
Forza Napoli sempre, yeah.
You can find us on YouTube. Check out our show anytime you want.
Hold on. You are the guy that is always writing Bros Oma. Yeah? You are the guy.
That's me. Bros Oma.
I see it.
Bros Oma. You're my guy, man. I'm telling you.
Okay. Man.
Listen, we need to have you back here.
No problem.
I know we said that last year, and then we're a year later. But I know you're a busy man during the season. So whenever you have time, I understand.
I'm always available, guys.
My friend. Let's do it. How about we do every 10 goals? We'll get you 10 goals.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, we'll do right. Good. So, that means I'll be on for 3 times.
There you go. We'll see you in November.
Right, we'll see you in November. Right. Guys, we'll all cut out together here. Thanks again to everybody in the chat for showing up. Omar, thank you so much again for joining us on the Rock and Rock Brand. It was an absolute pleasure for us as well. We wish you the best of luck for this season for your ventures. Big shout out to Victor and the boys on Napoli. Hopefully they're watching one day. But yeah, man, we'll see you again soon. Rafa, great show as always.
You too, my friend.
Thanks again, everybody. Ali right there. Let's get everybody in. I don't want to miss nobody.
Let's get everybody in.
We'll certainly be back again soon. But until then, Forza Napoli.
Forza Napoli sempre. Ciao.